Okay, fine. So then at Ruthie's request, we will do the question. We will explore the topic of waiting between milk and meat. So in general, right, if you're looking for these things, right, Yoredeya starting Tun Pei Zayin is Hilchot Basar B'Chalav. So waiting between meat and milk is Siman Pei Tet. Warning for the first time you learn it. The first time you learn kashrus is very hard because so much of the laws, the general kashrus laws overlap with the laws of Basar B'Chalav that they constantly reference each other. So you really have to learn it all and then learn it again before you understand any of it. I first heard this from Rosolovsky, who told me that he didn't understand it till he learned it three times. Because the first time through, you don't understand anything because they all cross-reference. Obviously, because all these halachot just overlap.
Complete gibberish before time you learn it. And
it really is.
Every time you learn it, you can make sense of stuff enough that you sort of understand what's
exactly
going on. And then once you've done it twice and you know enough of stuff,
then you can start analyzing it. Yeah, that's basically what it is. Yeah, I mean, it was a little bit helpful that when I learned Yoredeya the first time, Aura had learned it the year before me, so I had all of her svarim, so the key lines were already underlined, which was helpful. This did not go over well with the people who sat next to me in the Beit Midrash, who were more on the
right
yeshivish side of YU. I have a bit of a booming voice, especially when I'm learning, and when it randomly would come up that if I was reading Ora's note in the column, he would burst out laughing because he couldn't quite handle this reality.
Your wife, or the reality that you already
had
all the information,
or that I in smicha was had my wife's notes from the year before, who'd learned it before me. I don't know. I don't think he could quite handle that, but whatever.
Hilarious and bad.
What?
Hilarious and bad.
Yeah. But anyways. So if you look, these halachot are summarized in a relatively short siman in Yoredeya, siman Pei Tet, where, and of course, right, as you know, always a good way, if you don't happen to know Kol HaTorah Kula, a good way to start in at least tracking down the, what? Yeah, there's rare people who don't know everything. Yeah, so if you happen not to know, so a good place to start is at least to figure out where it is in the tour, because then the Beit Yosef will at least get you started by giving you the main Gemaras, the main Rishonim. So the Torah writes, achal basar, if you eat meat, and then he clarifies, lo shna behema chaya ve'ov, and it doesn't matter whether you're talking about domesticated animals, right, behemot, chayot, which are wild animals, or birds, like poultry, lo yochal gvina acharav, you don't eat milk afterwards, ad sheyishe kishir shemizman suhudat haboker, ad suhudat haerev, shehu sheyshaot. You can't eat unless you've waited the amount of time between the morning meal to the night meal, which is 6 hours. Okay? V'im shaha kishi'ur, and if you waited that time, im yesh basar ben ashinayim, tarich la'asiro, you have to remove, if you still have meat between your teeth, even if it's been 10 hours, you have to remove it. Ubetoch hazman, and within the 6 hours, afilu ein basar ben shinayim asur, within the time it's forbidden, even if there isn't meat between your teeth, l'fisha basar motzi shuman, u'moshech tam adzman aroch, because the taste lingers because of the oil and the fat for a long time. L'fisha tam im lo'ach lo elash lo aso l'tinok, but therefore, if you didn't swallow it, you just chewed it and spit it out for a baby, right, because before you had baby food. You made your own baby food, right, with your mouth.
Like a bird,
sure. Right, because there you don't have to worry about the teeth issue, right, because you didn't swallow it, so the taste is not going to last. And he says, the Harambam natan tam l'shihiyah, the Rambam gives the reason for this, mishum shabasar ben ashinayim, and the Rambam's primary reason is the meat between the teeth. According to him, the Rambam seems to believe that even if you had it between your teeth, it wouldn't matter anymore, right? Because it wouldn't be considered meat, meaning Right? He says ironically, right? If you think that the reason that you wait 6 hours is because that's how long it takes for the taste to leave, so then if it's still between your teeth, that wasn't, the problem wasn't removed by waiting 6 hours. But if you think the only reason to wait 6 hours is because of the meat between your teeth, the implication is that after 6 hours, even if it's between your teeth, it doesn't matter, because otherwise what is the 6 hours accomplished? Just take it out of from your between your teeth. But according to the Rambam, therefore, even if you chewed it but spit it out, you would have to wait, right? Because you have to wait 6 hours to make sure it's out of your teeth completely. And it's best to wait for both reasons. Okay? So that's like the Torah's summary of this halacha. But let's, right, this is not really, right, from the bottom up, but this at least gets us into it. So where does all of this come from? Right, the Torah assumes that it's 6 hours, but where does he get that from? Where does this halacha begin? So the halacha begins in Chulin, Daf Kofei, in what at least at first glance is a very odd little sugya. So it goes like this. The Gemara says, how much time do you have to wait between meat and cheese? Amar lei v'lo klum, he said. V'lo klum. What's v'lo klum? You don't have to wait at all. Amy, is that true? V'amar Rav Chisda says that achal basar asur lachol gvina. That if you eat meat, you can't then eat cheese. But gvina mutar lachol basar. But if you eat cheese first, you can't eat meat. Elokama yishev ben gvina lebasar. So rather, Mazi is asking the opposite question. How much time do you wait between milk and meat? Amar lei v'lo klum. Not at all. Gufa. Amar chisda. Achal basar asur lachol gvina. Gvina mutar lachol basar. Amr le'rav achal bar Yosef le'rav chizdav. Basar shivein ha-shinayim bahu. What do you consider meat between the teeth? Kari aleh. So he answered based on the pasuk in the story of the Slav. Habasar odenu bein shinayim. The meat was still in their teeth. What does that mean? Presumably what he's saying is it's still considered meat, right? Because habasar bein shinayim. Right? That which was between their teeth. You're right. I'm like losing my teeth. Yeah, that's a big loss. It's fine.
I have a
picture
chair
now. Okay. Brooke, I have one. I have one.
It's yours. No, it's not.
There's something came up in our second chair, so.
Yeah, somehow I don't think I need
to. Okay. So, yeah. So the Gemara then says, "Amar Ofva, Mar Ofva." Now, this is, by the way, what we're about to read is one of the main sources in Shas for the lack of existence of familial minhagim. We probably did it last year. I don't know if you remember it. I hope you do. I'll just assume you do because you know you're not allowed to forget Torah. But I'll leave it. There, I know everyone always thinks I'm joking. I'm really not joking. I say it facetiously to not be too mean, but I'm not joking at all.
I know.
It always takes a while for people to know I'm not joking, but by this point, you've known me for like 2 years. You know I'm not joking.
But finally, not because you were joking, but because you were nervous.
Nervous to not be joking, yes. So, Amar, So Omar Mar Ukva Anna Lahamilta Chala Bar Chamra Lagabe Abba. With regards to this halacha, I am like vinegar, the son of wine, compared to my father. Di ilu Abba ki have achel bistra ha idna lo have achel vina ad lamachar. My father would wait 24 hours between milk and meat, meat and milk, right? So if he ate yesterday, he would wait until this time tomorrow.
I do remember.
And a hashta, yes. And I don't eat it at the same meal, but in the next meal, I do. And Amar Shmuel, Ana Lahamilta Chalabar Chamra Lagabe Abba, with regards to this, I am vinegar, the son of wine, compared to my father. Dilu Abba Havesar Nechse, Trezim Nebiyome, my father would tour his properties twice a day to check. On Ivanos Nerne Lachada Zimna, and I only do it once a day, and then he goes on for why this matters. Okay, so, well, since we're just on the Gemara, let's bracket it, right? But let's remind ourselves what we did last year with it. Right? The simple reason of Gemara is that if your parents have a minhag, you don't have to hold of it, right? Which supports the majority reading of Rishonim. Right? Remember, the majority reading of Rishonim in the fifth parak, in the fourth parak of Pesachim, is that when the Gemara talks about minhagim oteichem biyadeichem of Bnei Beishan, right, the people of Beishan, it means people from Beishan, right? And the context there is minhag hamakom, right? Geographic minhagim, not familial minhagim, right? And therefore, the fact in this Gemara, familial minhagim are not considered binding, is exactly what you would imply from that Gemara that limits minhagim to geographic areas, right? That's the position of Rov Rishonim, seems to be the position of the Ramban and the Shvat Acherem, of the Rivash, Simreish Saditet, of the Chavot Yair, quoted the Pitzchei Tshuva, right? And all the Rishonim quoted there in Yerodei Reisha Dalet, right, in Hachot Nedarim. On the other hand, you have the Raivid, who seems to say in the Pre-Tohar, who explicitly says that, no, familial minhagim are binding, and Bnei Beishan were literally the people, the children of a person named Beishan. How do they deal with our Gemara? So they distinguish between customs that your parents accepted and intended to be familial minhagim, rather than things that your parents picked up, but intended to be personal practices, but not to pass on. Okay? Fine. So what categories do we have here? Right? So this is the main sugya that we have. So is the notion of waiting between meat and milk based on the Gemara? Yes, it is. Right? What standard do we have in the Gemara? Right? What's the standard? Right, between meals, right? Hai sudata lasudata achrina. The question is, right, what's the question, right? What drives all the different positions? How could you understand that phrase? What are all the different ways you could understand the phrase, in this meal I don't eat, in the next meal I don't? I do. Oh, and I'll just add one more question, then I'll take it. And how do you contrast whatever you say with what the Gemara defines as the time you have to wait between milk and meat? Right? Meaning, you need two things. How do you understand this phrase? And whatever that phrase means, how distinct is it from milk to meat, which the Gemara says you have to wait below klum? Right? Right? So whatever this is, right, the nothing of milk to meat, obviously the more you minimize the amount you have to wait from meat to milk, the less distinct it becomes from waiting from milk to meat. Right? So you got to figure it out. Right? Those are the two things you need to figure out to understand how much it is. Yeah, Abigail.
No,
never mind. No, you go. What could it mean?
I was gonna like ask the question that you literally.
Oh, comparing the milk. Oh, then I took it out of your mouth. But okay, fine.
The most obvious one would just be like, whenever you eat your next meal, it's fine.
Okay, so what if? So, but let's parse it, right? Well, what's a meal, and what do you mean the next time you eat a meal? Like,
I don't know. Like, you have snacks, but then there's also like breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Okay, so what if, so according to that definition, which is like sort of like a very, right, sounds like a very simple explanation, but let's figure it out. According to that, let's say you are an intermittent faster, right, and you do 24, right? You fast 20 hours a day and you eat 4 hours a day,
okay.
Right? So, but you're also a bodybuilder, right? So you pack in a lot of food in that 4 hours. Right? So you always have meals, basically, like three packed in meals in a 4 hour period, okay?
I don't understand how that works, but okay, yeah.
You die.
So expecting
what?
To eat for 4 hours straight.
Yes, I'm coming up with a case. I'm coming up with an extreme case. I could come up with something else. But fine.
Come on. Okay.
The
standard is 16:8.
What?
Intermittent fasting standard is 16:8.
The standard, depending on age, it switches. But yeah, anyways. But yes. What? Fine. So, but let's say that's what you do. So you have three meals in a 4 hour period, right? Right, so Ruth, so if you have four, if you have, you know, three meals in a four-hour period, so you're saying whatever, right, then that person waits, you know, the hour and change,
yeah.
Right? But what happens if they decide, you know, today I'm only going to do two meals with a snack?
It's not about time.
Okay, but can they, let's say, shorten the time normally between meals?
What do you mean shorten?
Right, I mean, they normally wait an hour and a half, but today they decide they're going to wait half an hour. Can they do that?
There's no sheer
time. Okay, so clarify what you're saying, because what you said was a little bit ambiguous. You're saying the next time you normally have a meal. You don't mean normally have a meal.
The next time you eat a meal.
Oh, the next time you have a meal. Right, so that just means the next time you have a meal. Can you snack in between?
Sure.
No, can you snack on dairy in between? Like, is there a magic? You're saying it's not a set time, but is it specifically like when you have a meal? Like, do you mean, like, is there some magic about a meal?
Can you repeat the language of the Gemara again? Because the way I heard it, it sounded like I don't eat it at the same meal. And
right. Behasu udata huzalo achilna.
Yeah.
And this meal I don't eat. Lusu udata achrina achilna. Now, that's why I'm pushing you, right? What are you saying? Is the emphasis on I can't eat it in this same meal, or I need another meal to create a break, right? The difference would be a snack.
Yeah.
Right? Meaning, if it's the magic of a meal, which in halacha normally means washing, right, having bread, mm-hmm. So then what you'd be saying is that if I have, according to that, right, fine, easier case, fine, you have a steak breakfast, fine. what? Okay. You have a steak breakfast at 9. Fine. I got a steak breakfast at 9. So if you think that you need a new meal to permit having dairy, so that would mean that she could have pizza for lunch, right? But she couldn't have coffee with milk at 10 o'clock.
Okay.
Right? But if you say that the emphasis is not, I need another meal, but rather, that I can't do it at this meal, right? Then I could, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Abigail said, yeah, that's what it means. The emphasis is on the first half of the sentence.
So if you bench, then it's no longer that time.
Okay, good. Right, meaning Abigail's saying that the emphasis isn't, I need the next meal, and Ruthie agrees. Right? Good. So no one says the other formulation as far as I know.
Well,
right?
That's what it seems like when...
That's fine. I just wanted to clarify what you meant.
Okay.
Right? So yes. So one possibility is exactly what Ruthie and Abigail both say, which is that the emphasis here is, b'chas u'data. In the same meal, you cannot eat milk and meat, but as soon as you end the meal, you can do whatever you want. How is that distinct from milk to meat? Right, the other way, where it's below kluum.
So you can have it in the same meal?
Yeah, you can have it in the same meal. Right, you could have it in the same meal. Right, you couldn't eat them together, but you have it in the same meal. Right, so I assume maybe Abigail does this, I don't know how many people do this, but like the Ramah's original minhag. On Shavuot, do you do this?
Two separate, no, we do like two challahs.
Right, two challahs, but in the same meal.
Yes.
Right, okay. So the Ramah's original minhag of how dairy came up, according to the Ramah, the way dairy came about as a minhag on Shavuot,
okay.
Is like this. Later on in this, later on in this sugya, not right here, but later on here, there's a halacha as follows. That any bread that that was on the table as part of a meal for a meat meal, cannot be eaten with a dairy meal and vice versa. The logic being that, right, your hands become greasy, right? Like, you know, you have, you're having, right, bread and like fancy cheeses, right? So you have sliced bread on the table, right? And you're like picking up the fancy cheese from the cheese plate and it gets on your hand and you pick up the bread, right? And then you pick up the next slice of bread and there's actual, right, mamushers of cheese on your hand that gets on the bread. So then you can't use that bread for meat. And therefore, if it was on the table, right, you can't use it for a meat meal and vice versa. Okay? So the Ramah utilizes that halacha to come up with a very creative Shavuot thing, which is that on Shavuot, we have a unique carbon called the Shtei Halachem, which is two loaves. And what the Ramah wants to do is create a situation in which you don't just have two loaves of bread at your meal, but that you actually must, not just do, but must partake of both. So how are you going to create a situation in which you must partake of both, right, is you have dairy first on the table, right, and the loaf of bread that's on the table and you have dairy now becomes invalid to eat with the meat part of your meal, right? So then you wash your hands, right? Switch to meat, and now you're obligated to have the second one.
Do you make hamotzi without nothing on the table?
And then you remove the loaf before you start eating.
Okay.
Right? And then you bring that loaf back. This way you're forced halachically to partake from both, which is zeichel shtei halacha. Right? That's how the Ramah records this minhag. Right? So very few people I know actually do this.
So you say
I'm going to
eat the bread on the table, and then you take it off.
You take one loaf off.
Bring your dairy.
You leave one loaf.
As if you decided you're just only going to eat one loaf, then you just put it on the side.
Right.
Okay.
You take one challah, leave it on the table, or if you want to be like, you know, fancy, like you do like a, you know, fancy like a, I don't know, like French bread and do like butter or whatever on the first, and then wash your hands and then move to your cholent or something. You just need a little bit of a hefsek in between, like just to sort of clear the air. Right, and then you move on to the second half of your meal, but you can do that in the meal without benching. Right? Right, that's the Ramaz Minna. Right? The only people I know.
You don't mean clear the air literally, right?
What?
You don't mean clear the air literally, right? No, like,
so,
you have a drink of water and, like, eat some of the bread.
I guess
yeah, use the bread to get it out of your teeth, meaning, we'll get to what you have to do, but you have to get the dairy out of your teeth, you have a little bit of bread to just rinse it off your mouth, and you wash your hands. Fine, a little bit more complicated than that, but that's basically what you do.
Okay.
The only I know very people who do this. I know that around YBC this is more popular as actually doing it this way. That's like of the only times that I've ever done this is when I was in 11th grade. I stayed over by friends in the Five Towns to go to my chaid shir in the morning. But we had dinner by Rabbi Feder, the one year he taught in Rambam, right? So I was in his class in 10th grade. For anyone, the guys who know who that is, you know who he is. But.
Oh my God.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay. Anyways, so we went and we did this, and we were wondering, like, what are we going to do in that, like, few minutes while we're just sort of clearing the air? But it ended up being, like, a comedy of errors. And, like, it was me, Aaron Friedman, Chaim Stauber, and Shai Horowitz. Okay? So, and they made, like a dairy, like a cheese noodle kugel pudding thing for like that first dairy course. And it was in the oven warming up while we're having challah. And then some of the cheese bubbled over and fell on the bottom of the oven and created smoke. So we set off the fire alarm, right?
You were clear.
Wait, it got better. Then Aaron goes with a pillow to like, you know, wave away the smoke from the fire detector, and the pillow hits a light bulb which shatters, so the glass is all over the space rug. So then we take the space rug out of the house to shake off the glass because there are little kids around. By the time we finished doing this, we had a half hour break, right? We were like, okay, you know, whatever you need to do, we have done it, right? We are done. We have had this, you know. Yeah, so that was our
new
minhag. Yes, new minhag. Shatter a glass, and yeah, it was just like this comedy of everything going wrong in such a way. Yeah, that was so. Every time I think of this minhag of the Ramah, I'm like, yeah, I wonder if that's what the Ramah was imagining. This is, you know, that zecher le matan Torah, that or zecher le shtei
lechem. Like then, the light bulb shatters. No, stay with me here.
Yes, of course. This is how weird minhagim start, right? I remember when I was my parents' house, we would shatter a light bulb. Right, yeah, exactly. Fine. But that's the only time I've really, maybe one other time I've done it. But the difference, therefore, between milk to meat and meat to milk is that milk to meat, you just need to make sure you don't have milk on your hands, milk in your teeth. But fundamentally, there's no waiting. There's no formal ending of the meal that's required, and that's what leads to the possibility of this minhag of the Ramah, where you have these like two meals in the middle of a meal, right? You know, the alternative is, you know, the other people I know who do it, but I haven't like actually eaten their house, is that they always want to have meat, but they also want to have cheesecake. So they just do dessert first, right? They do cheesecake, right, first, and then they do dinner. That's not a halachic minhag. That's a way of getting cheesecake in a meal that you're going to have meat. But fine. But fine. That's right. Abigail and Ruthie are right. The one way of reading this, so yeah, it's exactly like that. Milk to meat doesn't even require the formal cessation of a meal. It just requires making sure you don't have dairy in your hands, dairy in your mouth. But meat requires a formal cessation of the meal. Right? That's the emphasis. So who holds that? Right? Whose shita is that?
Formal cessation of the meal.
Yeah, that all you need is a formal cessation of the meal. No time. No, like in the Rishonim, how do they, who reads the Tosfot?
Yeah.
Right, exactly, right? Abigail is right. This
folds
is,
over the tablecloth.
What?
Tosfot folds over the tablecloth, that whole situation where you just fold over the tablecloth.
You just finished the meal. You formally,
you
right.
Do something that's
right, exactly, right. Tosfot just says here very, very quickly, we don't mean breakfast, lunch, dinner, right? We mean a few altar. We mean even immediately. As long as you take away the table, which in their time meant, right, I mean, they literally, right, you lay, right, you were lying on your, you know, couch thing, and you had like a little tray table thing.
Like the Bedouin
tent. Exactly. So you remove that and start again. The modern equivalent is, yeah, you switch the tablecloth or whatever it is, right? You finish the meal. You bench, finish the meal, fine. Uberach, and you bench, mutar. So then it's printed, delo, plug, rabana. There is no distinction, right? So one way of reading this sugya, highly emphasizing simply, b'hais udata lo achilna, in this meal I don't eat, means finish the meal, which for Tosfot means bench and, you know, whatever, switch the tablecloth, whatever it'll be. Right? That's all you need to do. Right? That's Tosfot's position. Okay? Fine. How else might you read this, Gemara?
You need that next meal.
You need the next meal. Good. So, right, that the emphasis isn't on the first half, which is b'hais u'data lo achilna, it's on the second half, which is b'suda'ata acharina achilna, at the next meal I eat. Good.
Considering the fact that, like, he was talking about the fact that his father waits 24 hours, so there's clearly, like, a time period difference between meals.
Okay, good. So, right, Nahama said that there's a good deal to say that there's actually a wait, right? Because you could just say, look, he's contrasting his position with a position which is time-based, right? Now, how different do you think he is from his father? Do you think his father waited 24 hours and he barely waited, right? He just finished the meal, or do you think no? His father waited 24 hours and he waited, also time-based, but less. Okay, good. So now what could that mean, right? So even if you focus on that, plus if you focus on the second formulation, which is Sudata acharina achilna, I eat at a different meal. So what might that mean?
You
wait till. Sorry, what's your name?
Tiferet.
Oh, Dardek, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, I think we did meet last year at some point, or you sat in on one class or something.
Year.
Or this year?
Yeah.
I like morphed time. I don't know, but I knew at some point.
I don't remember.
What? I don't remember when it was. Do you remember what, like, this year feels like it was 25 years long, right? It was just like, I talked to a friend, he's like, this year both feels like it was forever, right? And, like, not at all. So I have no track of time, right?
I feel like it was a month, but then also, like,
yes, exactly. Yeah, it's just weird. Like, I was like, you came to class at some point. I no longer know when anything has happened. I have no idea, right? It was, you know.
A time.
A time,
I mean,
yes.
You know my brother.
What?
You know my brother.
Yes. He has gotten many tramps with me.
Yeah.
To make up. Yes. Yes. And your father's coming to give,
really,
your father's coming to give a shirt next week.
It's called purple. It's called purple, yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Okay.
Transfer
by definition stranger. Carpool
has more.
I mean, that's not true.
An unplanned.
I mean, you're right. It's mostly unplanned.
It's planned carpool.
Yeah.
Fine.
And even as such, I would say carpool if I go with my friend instead of just going home.
No, if you're standing on the side of the road and
that's,
you know,
a trip.
That's a trip. Yeah. Fine. So okay, but now what are the parameters then of the two? So what are the parameters of udata acharina? What parameters could there be?
Well, it could just be like whenever you do eat your next meal.
Okay, so one possibility is
like not a time-based thing.
Okay, but how is that different from Tosfot, or is it different from Tosfot?
Because that would be the in-between would still.
Right, but what if I choose to eat a new meal? Half an hour.
No, but it's then that's different from Tosfot because the dinner is on the new meal.
All right, so okay, so you're saying theoretically it could be, it has to be like a new meal, right? It's not like a snack, but whenever you eat the new meal. So if you're someone who only eats for 4 hours a day, so You know, fine. And if you normally wait 6 hours between meals, but, like, today you're not because, like, I don't know, you got a late start, right? You woke up late, so you only end up having breakfast at 10, but the school still serves lunch at 12, so, you know, they're serving food you can eat, right? As long as there's, like... What?
You have your meat breakfast.
Because you had your steak and egg breakfast. Yeah, exactly. Right? Unbelievable. Yeah. But whatever.
You said you, that's a real question. Like, not...
No, like, my brother and sister, my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, like, you know, like, they, like, my brother-in-law likes meat a lot. They do this. Like, I, you know...
Oh, listen, I think I should be a vegetarian. It's just too difficult, especially going back home.
Well,
okay.
You know how much it is.
Okay.
Actually, 100%.
Anyway, I'm not like. Anyway, so I.
What's cheaper in America?
What's cheaper in America?
I'm being vegetarian.
It's not like being a vegetarian is expensive here. It's really not
a big deal. It's really not, but being vegan. No, it's not about the money.
It's really not. It's really like.
Oh, if your family will not support it, they will not allow it.
I'm saying, like, I just won't be able to eat any milk.
I mean, you still would. You just won't be eating all the juices. Not
no.
Wrong at all.
Okay. I mean, anyways, fine. Also. So, so one possibility is theoretically speaking, is that it just needs to be the next time you have a formal meal. It really doesn't matter when that is. It could be half an hour later. It could be 3 hours later. It could be 6 hours later. Whatever it is.
Would that have to be defined by eating bread? Like, if I don't eat bread...
I'm going to theoretical possibility. No one actually says what I just said.
I know.
Right? But I'm constructing a theoretical possibility, which is that it could be that the next time you eat bread, whenever that is. No one actually says that, but it's a possible read. So now Ruthie says, okay, but does it really mean meal, like, the way they had it bread, or does it mean, like, you know...
Yeah.
Sitting down for my next kavua eating, right? So, I don't know, right? And again, these are all, no one says this either, but it's a theoretical possibility. You're right, right? Theoretically, you could have said, no, it's the next time you have, like, a, you know, you sit down to eat. Not, like, your coffee in between, but, like, the next time you sit down to eat. Okay. So no one actually says that position. But it's a theoretical possibility. Or no one that I know of says that position. Okay, what else might it mean?
Makes sense, though.
I didn't say it didn't make sense. I'm just saying that I don't know of anyone who says it.
Okay.
Right? You said you want to understand. Ruthie, you said you want to go into topics that everyone does differently and understand why they do it. Okay, so we're talking about the possibilities. I don't know why people don't say it, but they don't. Right? Okay, so what else? What other possibility is there?
You set a specific time that is time between meals.
Okay, so another one is to set a specific time between meals. Okay, but even within that, let's subdivide it. What would that mean? What is the specific time?
Either
there's an ambiguity there.
Or
what?
Time that you would wait between meals, or just a set time.
Okay, right. One is to say, let's come up with a time that, objectively speaking, is the normal amount of time between meals. Right? It's not dependent on you. It's not culturally dependent. Right? Somehow we come up with some magical number.
It would be culturally or just dependent on the way that people eat. Like,
okay.
That you can't have.
Okay. So let's outline the possibilities. Possibly one. Objective time. Nechama doesn't like it. Nechama says, ma pitam. Right? What does that mean, objective time? Right?
Just like objective time taken into account of human digestion? Or like...
Yeah, you'd say something like human digestion. I don't know, right? Come up with what the normal... right? I mean, we'll see. The Summary Channel will really say this. So Summary Channel really will say this, right? It's like... right? It's more about digestion. Something like, look, the amount of time that, you know, if you're eating healthily, you should take between meals. But actually, people don't. It's their problem. I don't know.
I mean, like,
right?
Like Rambam was talking about the fact that, like, there is some sort of, like, chewing is part of digestion. So,
okay,
like,
meaning, right, Nechama is trying to already explain the Rambam, but yeah, meaning there's an objective, it's not random objective, it's not like random and arbitrary number of hours, but it's like a number of hours that we set based on certain, whatever, right, physical parts of the eating process that are not societally dependent, right? Digestion, how long taste lasts, right? Which already saw on the tour, right? But if you use that type of argument, so then you can get to the point where you talk about objective time, right? Okay, what else might you mean by specific time, right? That's objective, right? Set time. But what else might you mean by specific time?
The normative time that people in your society would...
Right. You could say it's not individualized, but it is, nor is it objective. It's societally dependent. So, if you live in
times where people eat steak in the morning.
Sure, right? I mean, look, if you eat in a place where the norm is to have breakfast at 9 and lunch at, you know, 12, so then the average number of hours for a meal is 3, right? If people only have 2 meals a day, so it might be 5 or 6 hours,
so,
whatever.
I guess then there's the question, what if it's standard custom that people eat breakfast at 9, lunch at 12, and then dinner at 6?
Right, so then you've got to figure out, what if you're in a place where, right, the amount of time between breakfast and lunch is 3 hours, the time between lunch and dinner is
so
6 hours.
So you then, like, would your requirements wait between breakfast and lunch be different than your...
Right, so then you'd either, so then you, within that, if you think it's societally dependent, you either say it would be the minimum,
yeah,
the maximum, right, or, you know, it depends whether you're waiting from breakfast to lunch or from lunch to dinner.
Yeah.
Right? Exactly. What else might you say? Right? Now this is, right, we can tweak this even farther because that's saying it's societally dependent, right? But however you do it, it's some sort of, right, constant. But you could also say it's a societal standard that depends on even things like time of year. Right? Because let's say if you live in a more agricultural, you live in a pre-modern society. Right, people didn't eat at noon on the clock and 6 on the clock, right? They ate, you know, at whatever, midday, and it was getting dark, right? At dusk, yeah, which would mean that in the winter, you'd only have to wait 4 hours, right?
Yeah.
And in the summer, you'd have to wait 7 hours or whatever. What? Yes, yes, all right, yes. No, these are actual positions. Now, whatever already, right, I'm not yet biasing you by saying who holds what, but these are actual positions, right? What else might you, any other possibilities, what else might this mean? Right, so we have, it just means finish this meal. It means wait till some objective number of hours have passed based on some, you know, whatever, physical part of the eating process, digestion, chewing, whatever, right? Some arbitrary time, but then it is what it is. It's societally dependent, and even within that we said, is it societally dependent, like you take the minimum average number of hours between meals, the maximum number of average between meals, right? Or, but then it's true constantly throughout the year, or do you say no? It's like, even within the societally dependent, it's constantly shifting, right? Meaning, in the winter less, in the summer more, right, and the like, right? All those are variations on a theme. What else might it mean? Anything else? I don't know if there's another possibility. I'm like, there might be, but, you know. Okay, fine, right? So, right, these are like the basic directions. Obviously, within them, you have to figure out what this looks like, but those are like the basic possibilities that could be raised. We already put one name down, which is Tosfot, right? Tosfot was the one who focused on Bahai Se'udata. It's only in this meal that you can't eat, but in the next meal, you are allowed to eat. Okay, but even if you just look at the tour, right, and a bit yosei, you'll get a few other positions. Right, this is always how you get at least the initial basic position of Rishonim. You're gonna just look at the bit yosei. So bit yosei quotes the Rambam, and he says the Rambam says v'med varma murim ba'ochel basar beima nechaya achar dvina. Skip down, not that one. Right, he starts with the milk discussion. Then touching the bread, and then he says, "Also, like Gvina al Mapar." This is the same table. That's the thing. Okay. So, you know, we already read the Torah, so why don't we start with the Torah, right? What does the Torah say? Which one does the Torah say? Let's start with that because we actually already read it. I realize that makes more sense for us. What did the Torah say? How many hours?
Objective time, 6 hours.
Yes, the Torah said straight up 6 hours. Why? Good. So the Torah tells you 6 hours. Why? So the Torah already introduces you to two principles, right? Two driving principles here. What are the two driving principles for him? Right? He thinks there are two factors, right? He thinks that it's an objective time, but it's an objective time based on two factors. What are they?
Meat between your teeth
and the amount of time it takes sort of for the taste to leave your mouth, digestive system, whatever, the point at which you're no longer tasting the meat, right? So both of those, according to him, provide the justification for some sort of objective time, which he pegs at 6 hours, right? But the 6 hours are less important than realizing what he's doing methodologically, right? Meaning he's saying that udata acharina, that isn't really about the meal, that's a stand-in, right? I mean, what's he really saying? Look, there is a natural amount of time that people wait between meals because people want to be hungrier again, or they want to be able to savor the food without still having the aftertaste of the previous food. Or whatever, right? But this is how he takes it. And therefore, the amount of time that it takes for it to sort of make sense to eat another meal is 6 hours, right? Like that's how he reads Resudat Achrina, right? The amount of time because of these two rationales, right, one or the other, that it makes sense to eat another meal. Right, that's how he reads it, and therefore you come to an objective time called 6 hours. Yeah.
Even to the Rambam's objective time, though. So it's like Shesh.
Okay, right. So we'll come back to the Rambam's formulation in just a second. The Torah, though, is a pretty clear Shesh Shaot, right? 6 hours. Now, within that, he clarifies, and he says there are really two rationales functioning here, right? Because even if you want to say it's an objective time because of some inherent rationale that tells you you should be waiting between meals in general. So the reason this says is about how long it takes for digestion. So then, according to that, as he notes, the Gemara's statement, which says that meat between your teeth is considered meat, remember that's where that factor comes in, right? Meaning, well, I'll put it differently. The Gemara introduces this factor of having meat between your teeth. The question is that the rationale for the waiting, or is that a secondary rule in addition to waiting, right? So the Torah takes it as an additional reason, right? That the reason you wait between milk and meat is digestion, or taste, or aftertaste, whatever you want to call it. That's 6 hours. That the reason of meat between your teeth is not the reason for waiting, and therefore, you have to wait for two things. You have to wait for the digestion period, the taste period, which for him is 6 hours, and if you happen to have meat between your teeth, you also have to get it out, because the Gemara established that meat between your teeth is still defined as meat.
I think so.
Right? However, he argues that if you went the opposite direction, which is what? To read the meat between your teeth still being meat as not an additional thing you have to be worried about, but as the rationale for waiting. Right? Well, no. So you could have gone it.
Oh. Well,
so you could have gone two directions. You could have just said take it out. But if you say that no, that's the rationale, and you read Besudata Achrina to mean the amount of time you normally have between meals, then after that time you no longer have to wait. Because the way you read those two rules together is if you haven't yet gotten to the time of Besudata Achrina, then meat between your teeth still is defined as meat. But once you get to that amount of time, even the meat that's between your teeth ceases to be defined as meat, and therefore, you're allowed to...
Wait, I thought the Torah said that even after 6 hours, if there was meat between your teeth,
so the Torah does, right? The Torah is, right, because the Torah thinks that the reason you wait 6 hours is because of digestion aftertaste. And therefore, he thinks that the principle in the Gemara, which is that meat between your teeth is still considered meat, is a second principle, which means that you need two things in order to eat milk again. One is waiting the amount of time that is normally between meals such that digestion happens, and you need to ensure that you don't have meat between your teeth. But he, as he formulates the Rambam, says that the Rambam thinks that they are the same reason, meaning the reason you wait is because meat between your teeth is still considered meat, and therefore after 6 hours, or whatever, from su'udah to su'udah, even if you have meat between your teeth, it's no longer considered meat. The tour himself is machmer for both, right? Meaning he's worried about both. You have to wait 6 hours, and you have to remove meat from your teeth, just in case these are two separate reasons. And he says that if it's about digestion, then chewing alone and spitting out should not be a reason to wait 6 hours. But if chewing is the reason to wait, then you would have to wait 6 hours, and the tour is machmer in both directions. That you need to wait 6 hours plus remove meat from your teeth. And even if you only chewed it and therefore only had meat between your teeth but never swallowed it, you still have to wait 6 hours, right, and remove it from your teeth. Right? He's machmer in both directions for both possibilities. Right? That's the tour's formulation.
I imagine Tosfot
would agree that you still have to take meat out of your teeth. Presumably Tosfot could still agree that you have to take meat out of your teeth because he doesn't think they're related, right? Because he thinks that that rule stands alone,
mm-hmm.
and then says that the rule of Sudata Achrin, that simply means you got to wash bench, you know, clean up the table,
yeah.
and move on. So yeah, he's going to take the rule of having meat between your teeth as a separate principle, and therefore would accept the stringency, the first stringency at least of the Torah, which is you have to clean that out of your teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Whether he would think the opposite is not as clear, right? That if you just chewed it and spit it out, right?
Okay.
I mean, well, what would that mean for Tosfot? You're just at the bench, right?
Yeah.
That's an irrelevancy for Tosfot. But the first one, he might very well, he probably does agree with. Okay. So that is, right, an example of somebody who very clearly holds objective time. Okay, let's hold the Rambam for a minute because Avigal is right. The Rambam is not necessarily as clear as the Torah makes him out to be. Right, the Torah has a very specific idea of what it is that the Rambam means, but it's not 100% clear, so let's hold it for a minute. I just want to make sure, even if we don't finish today, to at least expose you to the Pichadash's position. I hope it's in here. Good question whether it is.
We also have other...
Right, because like sometimes it doesn't get into the, you know... Like the, you know, these like one volume,
yeah.
Tour and whatever.
We have other editions, so.
Yeah, it's in the black one for sure. If you have the black shelf on our own.
I'm fairly certain.
Okay, so if you have it, I'll look if it's here. But it is here. They cut it out. They don't have the Pri Chadash by itself. They have a Yalkut Mepharshim that includes the Pri Chadash. Let me just make sure it has the right passage. If it does, then I'm fine.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a little bit annoying, but okay. They do like this. Yeah, they just create a Yalkut Mepharshim, which is helpful for like the minor Mepharshim, but like the Prichadash, which is like a long, ongoing commentary in Shulchan Aruch, I don't really need it integrated into everybody else's commentary, but fine. That's how they did it. So let me make sure. No?
So easy to get it.
Okay, yeah, no, they don't have it. They have some Pri Chadashes, but not that one. Well, that's very helpful. That's very helpful, yes. I feel like sometimes that's worse, right? Like, if it didn't have a Pri Chadash at all, so you wouldn't expect it to have the Pri Chadash, but if it quotes it randomly, then like, and then you don't see it, you expect that he has nothing important to say on it, which is untrue, he does. But fine. Unless they put it on the side here. No, they did not put it on the side here. Mm-hmm. Was it so easy to find, or did it disappear? Oh, I knew there was one other position I wasn't mentioning, but that was just because I was using English, so it got lost, right? There is one more ambiguity, right, which is that even if you think it's sha'ot, right, what might sha'ot mean?
Oh, I was thinking that earlier.
Right, sha'ot's money up. And another reason to distinguish between winter and summer is not just the winter, summer that
it's
you eat.
Halachic hours.
Right, it's at halachic hours, in which case, of course, if you really follow that to a logical extreme, that means in the summer you'd be waiting 6 hours of, like, 75 minutes, right? Which would be, you know, much longer, right? You know, 7.5 hours.
Yeah.
Right, meaning you would come out of at like the shortest part of the year when an hour is like 45 minutes, right? So obviously it would be more like 4 hours, but it could be, yeah, almost, you know, 7, 7, 8 hours in the summer.
Yeah.
No, did Ruth Lee not find me?
Okay, it seems like we have basically all of the black set except...
Okay.
So,
okay. So,
I think it's in here.
Okay. Hopefully.
It's not going to be fun to read, though.
Yeah, that's fine. I realized this before, right? One of the things we didn't mention is the possibility, even if you think it's Sha'ot, it's Sha'ot Zmanio, in which case it would be more flexible. Okay, but...
Well, we did mention it being seasonal.
Right, meaning we mentioned seasonal, but there's another variation on that, which is simply it's Sha'ot Zmanio. Okay. So, before we look at that, though, I'll just... to give you another example of someone who thinks it's very, very formal, right? So Shulchan Aruch sounds formal. Shulchan Aruch says, Achal basar afilu shechayav ov lo yochum v'nachar avashish sheshot, right? Right, you wait 6 hours. Now, the Prima Gadim makes it very clear as follows. That even if you chew for the baby, mikol makom yesh lahashmer lamtin sheshot v'shem lo plug. The reason you wait 6 hours, right, now he gives another rationale. What's the other rationale for 6 hours besides for, you know, based on digestion, things like that? Is well, no, it's that once you've set up that, right, that whatever it is that generated it, we then go into our normal rule of all rabbinic rules, which is lo pluk, that we then formalize it and make no distinctions, right? So you add that on top of what we said before, which is the 6 hours was generated by some objective standards, and then... you objectify it, because we always do that. We formalize it. And he said, and by the way, obviously that means 24 hours and 60 minutes, lo zmaniyot. Not, so zmaniyot, v'chein katab, v'chenesi b'dolah, v'agorat shur, v'avadah yinomar v'manachor, v'metakel maher, v'upashur. Because if it's based on digestion, then it's not based on the sun. Right? It's just, right? It's just not. Is that true?
No, I know women grow fast.
Yeah, I don't really know if that's true, actually. Our circadian rhythm, they are a bit more related than I think you probably realized.
Yeah.
Right? But, you know, one of the things I started doing when I travel is that there's several studies that suggest, and it's worked for me, that you can speed up your recovery from jet lag if you don't eat on the plane. And you eat the next time you would have a normal meal, like breakfast, in the new country. Like, you starve yourself a little bit, because then you basically use more than one factor, right? Like, the sun starts to get your body, right, readjust your circadian rhythm, because your body slowly adjusts based on the blue light, right? But if you utilize another system, right, you can sort of trick your circadian rhythm faster. They actually are at some level related, but I don't know enough about whether they're related in this sense. Okay.
I've also read something about, like,
Right, that would definitely potentially help.
And it did a lot.
Okay, so this looks like it has the shortened prichadash, where there's the short version of something that appears in the side of Shulchan Aruch, and then there's a full version. But hopefully this has enough for what we need, I hope.
It's very hard to...
Yeah, let's hope. Or not. There's the short prichadash Okay, you know what? We'll have to start with the shittas we have then on the page. I'll get it. It's fine. Fine. But that's the, right, that's that position.
Oh, here. Zero.
Really?
50% is correct. Oh, okay.
Okay. So, fine. So we have the total fleet formal position, then we have Tosfot's position. Now, there is even, theoretically, a more machmir construal, which is a combination of some of these positions, and that is, can someone combine these to come up with an even stricter position? Yeah.
Well, you could say with, you know, different times, winter, summer, you don't want to get confused, so might as well just...
Oh, I mean, you could go in that direction, right, and say, yeah, it's six hours is the longest hour. You could do that.
And then you get to like 8 or 10.
Oh yeah, you could definitely do that. But then there's something else you could do here, which is going to pay a lot of attention to the words to Udata Acharina. And that is, well, when do you count the 6 hours from? From eating or from benching? Right? Right, you know, like some people are like, oh, I had chillin and I finished at 12:30. But then I had cake at 1:30, so I wait 6 hours from when I eat meat. But theoretically, you could have said that once you objectify to 6 hours, it's 6 hours from benching. So the Dagel Mervava says this. He says, Mikan Mashma, this is at least the question he raises. He says, Mikan Mashma lehed jesheshot hainu misof achilat abasar ad chilat sudat agvina. He says, that's not what it means, right? Meaning he raises a possibility. He says, that's not what this means, right? It means from eating meat to the beginning of the dairy meal, right? That's how he does it. What's his proof? Because we don't make you wait 6 hours from when you remove it from your teeth. Mashma aval misof achila al kol panim tarech lahamtin. But you have to wait from when you finish eating. The chinuch b'shar chadin shebegmara. The amri anav sudat achrin achilna. The katav arambam, etc. But then he continues, and he says, okay, what about the 6 hours? So he says, where does the Rambam get 6 hours? So technically, as Abigail knows correctly, does the Rambam say 6 hours?
No.
No, the Rambam has this very strange phrase called kishe shaot. Now, what does kishe shaot mean?
Like
6 hours. Good. So what does like 6 hours mean?
Around.
Okay, so one possibility is it means around, meaning ki is about, right? And that has led to all types of weird positions like 5 hours, five and a half hours, 5 hours, 31 minutes, right? Row, right? Or some people just said into the 6th hour, right? Both of those are diukim in the Rambam of kishe sha'ot, right? What's another way of reading kishe sha'ot?
Yeah, maybe 6 hours.
No, so that's similar to this.
But like, no, you can do like 6 hours or just like whatever hours like you think it is. Like,
well, you could also say that
the Rambam... Okay, good. So Nechama said there's another way of saying 6 hours, and this... Historically, maybe what the Rambam meant, which was 6 hours means 6 hours in a world where people didn't have clocks, right? Meaning, what? Yeah. Meaning, kishe shaot could have just meant like 6 hours, but like no one really knew what 6 hours was. Like you do your best to figure out what 6 hours is, and like whatever it means, right? Meaning, it's not like it doesn't mean anything formal, like 5 hours and 31 minutes or into the 6 hours. It means 6 hours. Why does he say kish? Because you didn't have a digital watch to tell you, right, that I finished eating chillins at 12:33 and 16 seconds, right, and therefore, right, I can have my my coffee 6 hours later to the second, right? Which, like, this is, like, literally what you see people doing, right? It's like, I need my coffee. They're, like, looking at it, right? They have it ready, like, 3 minutes, right? 3 minutes before the end of their 6 hours or 5 hours, whatever it is, right? They've already made the coffee, mixed in the milk, and, like, they're holding it to their mouth, and, like, their atomic clock, right? But, like, most people didn't do that, right? It's like, it has to be precise. I mean...
Or almond milk. It's not that different. Like,
right.
Okay. Drink coffee flat, or wait another 3 minutes to drink it with milk.
Don't be counting down the minutes like it's New Year's Eve or something.
Why can't you also say that the Rambam was saying
Kishesha
would have been like the normal time I
wait
between meals?
Good. So all of these versions assume that Kishesha means 6 hours, and Ki either means a minimizing it, not exactly 6 hours, or it's just you don't know what time it is. We mean like 6 hours, but like, you know, whatever that means, right? Pachari is hair, right? But the other possibility that Ruthie notes is, no, maybe kishesho doesn't mean that at all. Maybe kishesho isn't a quantitative point, it's a qualitative point. Meaning, 6 hours doesn't mean 6 hours. It means the amount of time you wait between meals, which, like, as far as he knew, was like something that, right, and that's in the comments at all, so, right? Kishesho means, like, similar to what 6 hours means to me, right? Right, meaning it's a different conceptual model. It's not about 6 hours. It's similar conceptually to the way I, in Egypt, experienced 6 hours, right? That's a different model, right? So the Marei the Dargum Ravava. The Dargum Ravava says, V'hinei, lo matzinim eizem makom lamara Rambam shu shesho. Where did the Rambam get shesho? Halecha Mishnah perish. The Halecha Mishnah explained, the perish of the Vardamar Ufa Shamar B'suda Achrita Talmud Chacham Havei. And the Halecha Mishnah comes up with a very formal explanation, which is, Mar Ufa the Talmud Chacham, Uzman Su'uda Shelo B'sha'a Shishi. And therefore, the time of the meals of Talmid Chachamim was in the 6th hour. V'himtim ar erev. So he would have at the 6th hour, meaning about 11 o'clock in the morning, right, between 11 and 12, and then he would wait till sunset, right, around 6. Ayin alecha mishnah. V'arei sudat Talmid Chacham, ayinu b'sha'a shishi. Mashmali. So he says, what comes out from that analysis? Sh'at chalara sudahu b'sha'a shishi. That the minute, the beginning of the meal was the 6th hour, etc. Tainu shim yoshim v'din ochlem v'yecholim la'achar zman tzudat tov sha'a shishit v'lo gara mitah midei ama moda zman she'ikra zman azuda hu v'sha'a shishit mamash v'mkin zman azuda hu v'sha'a shishit v'sov v'suda ad erev shisho. Right, so that's how you get it. That basically you eat during the 6th hour from 11 to 12. You finish at 12, you eat dinner at 6. Right? And that's where he would have gotten 6 hours. Now, the Dogma Meir Papa, what does it sound like? How does he understand the Rambam? How formal is this 6 hours for the Rambam?
It's just like a matter of circumstances.
Right, meaning, but by the end of the day, right, meaning it comes from a circumstance, but by the end, he sounds like, he's just asking a historical question. How did you get the number 6? But by the end, he sounds like it's a formal 6. Right? Like, he gets very formal. You eat from 11 to 12, you finish at 12, you eat again at 6. Right, that's how he ends up understanding the Rambam. The Gra also goes in that direction, right? The Sudat Shachar Shil Talmid Chacham, Hu B'Sha'a Shishit. Now. So I'm just right now following what I have on the page, right? So where does an hour come from, right? So far we've basically explained a lot of possibilities. We haven't given a name to all those possibilities yet, right? But we have the formal 6 hours, right? We have the possibility that kishesho means, right? Like the amount of time that you wait between a normal meal. Right now, by the way, there are many people who paskin this way, right? So for example, I know that in Gush they did this, and I know at Chalvin they do this, right? Where they try to wait 6 hours, right? But when, because of sunset and mincha and the whatever, right, it just happens in the schedule that dinner is like 5 and some odd hours after lunch, they tell people you can eat milk, because the whole point is it's not really 6 hours. They understand kishesho to mean the amount of time around 6 hours, which is the norm between meals. But it's not an objective rule, 6 hours. It's like about 6 hours, really 6 hours more or less between meals, right? And therefore, what that means practically is that if the natural way that about the 6 hour difference comes out to like 5 and change, right, then that's also okay, which is sort of a variation on this.
Would you have to say then that it needs to be around 6 hours? Like, what if it ended up being like...
So, right, so this is obviously like a mild variant on it, which is like 6 hours, which is, right, it's... they take the sheish pretty seriously, but the kid, right, qualifying, like, the amount of time between meals when that is about 6 hours,
mm-hmm.
Right? Right, obviously, the other, the more radical kid is, no, the amount of time between meals, whatever that is societally, right? But we haven't gotten to a position that it's a theoretical possibility, but we haven't put a name to it. Now, what about an hour? Let's talk about an hour. Where does an hour come from?
Understand.
Yes, good. So an hour is the traditional German minhag, which is still kept by many Dutch people. That's, I think, a proper, more accurate way of saying it was in many countries, right? But now mostly Dutch people keep it, so it's known as the Dutch minhag.
So
where does it come from?
Would be like the objective time based on characteristics of meat, basically.
So one way would be to say some sort of objective character of meat. Another would be to say that maybe it's, you know, they accept something like...
Because you're not going to be eating a meal an hour after your previous meal, regardless of what culture you're in.
Right. So where does it come from? So it comes from the Rama. The Rama says, V'yesh omrim de'enshech elam d'mshesho rak miyadim silek, right? So some people, i.e. toast, would say, you don't have to wait at all. You just have to bench. Right? Finish the meal, wash your hands, wash your mouth, and eat. The minhag is to wait an hour. Now, does he literally mean an hour? Right? What could an hour mean? What's the ambiguity of sha'a?
Just like
sha'a means a time, right? Sha'a could mean a moment. It could mean an hour, right?
It
means sha'a. Right, meaning it's not always clear what sha'a means, right? Right, so he says the minhag where he is to bench and wait an hour. But the hour doesn't count if you didn't also bench. And it doesn't matter if you bench before or after. Okay. And some say the Yeshurim, the Ain Levarech Rehmanazonim and Atlech called Vina. Some say don't bench just so that you can eat milk, right? Right now, what is that saying? Some say that.
Like, you can't end your meal
early. Exactly, right? It can't be fake, right? Like, Suda Achrita, this is another possibility, means, like, you have to legitimately end your meal.
So how would dessert work?
So if you normally bench anyways before dessert, right, and then you have dessert, that would be natural,
okay.
Right? Correct. However, he says, ain't his heart in bed. No one holds that way, right? He says, these positions don't hold that way. V'yesh medaktikin lahamtin sheish sha'ot achar achila basar, v'yina v'chein achon lasot. Right, he says, but some wait 6 hours and that's the right thing to do. And that's how this became more universal, because the Shulchan Aruch says it and the Ramah says that's the right thing to do. Okay, but good. So where does the hour actually come from? So the Ramah isn't clear, right?
It seems like it's just total, but trying to create a distinction between meals.
Yeah, okay, good. So that, the way that Taz describes it, he quotes the... Ray quotes Marai, and he says, "Rabim osim pshara midatan." What's pshara? It's a compromise position, right? Meaning one way of understanding it is that this is essentially an expansion of Tosfos, right? Which is, right? Nobody washes and right. Nobody benches and then starts eating again, right? So like an hour is basically a way of saying, like it's really an expansion of Tosfos. It's you don't have to wait. It's just like you have to finish the meal, but like. Everyone understands that you don't bench and then start a new meal. That's just weird. That's arbitrary, right? But sometimes people get hungry a little bit after a meal. So, like, you wait, whatever it is. That's not how he understands it. He understands it as a compromise position, right? Not an expansion position, but a compromise position. Lamtin sha'achat achara se'uda basar b'silko v'erchu v'ochlin v'ina avagav lo'askan remez l'shir z'emikol machon mim chevi adam. Right, he says, look, I can't stop them, right? But I don't know where an hour comes from. So like, okay, that's what they want to do. Let them do it, right? But fundamentally, he says, this is a compromise position that no one really understands where it came from.
Sounds like it's just like, it should have been immediate. Like, people thought, like, immediately after
the meal,
you can eat again, but then just to be sure, like, wait some time.
Right, now in the end of the day, right, he quotes the position that really what you do is wait 6 hours, but if people don't wait 6 hours, if they're Tamid Chamim, you have to yell at them. If they're not Tamid Chamim, let them wait their hour, and it's fine. And then he quotes... So that's one possibility. The next possibility, he quotes from the Levush. And the Levush says, you know how we got an hour? It's even worse. The Ramah is quoting the Smag. Who taught so fair? It was a Gersa mistake. It never happened. Right? So possibility one, theoretically, would be an expansion of Tosfer. Possibility two is a compromise. Possibility three, Gersa mistake. Shalom, Katam, Shumba, they came, Rachma, right, Intervet, there are Rosh, Katam, Shalom, Nogin, came. What?
How would it be
an
entire,
a year
from the mistake that he wrote an entire response?
I don't know. Right, he said there was a gears of mistake. No, no, he means a gears of mistake in the smog. Right, he's saying it's wrong in the smog. It is in the Maharai, right, but he's saying there is no real source for it. Right, that's really what he's saying. He's saying, right, meaning he's saying to attribute it to real source is a mistake. Where is it attributed to? It's attributed to Marai, who himself is only saying that he knows that people do it, but it's not a real minhag. Right? That's what he's saying. Right?
How
many
hours is this meeting?
Okay.
Wait, how much more time do we have? Well, -20 minutes?
Yeah, negative, almost 20 minutes. Okay, so maybe we won't finish it now, even though we're almost finished, but we're not totally finished. But okay, so a quick, so quickly, where did 3 hours come from? So 3 hours came, there's two possibilities that are raised as to where 3 hours came from. One is...
I also heard that it's a Gersa mistake too.
Good. So that one almost definitely actually is a Gersa mistake in Rabbi Yerucham, where there is one weird, questionable Gersa in Rabbi Yerucham, if I remember correctly, that says 3 hours. The most likely source for 3 hours is same as 1 hour. It was a compromise position between people who really kept the old minhag of an hour and the over, like the overriding force of the people who started keeping
six
and its variations, right? Six, almost six, five and a half, into the six, all those variations, right? They came up with a compromise because, like, 1 hour felt too weird, right? Like, because what's the nafka mina practically between an hour and 3 hours? The difference is, as the assistant rabbi in my shul growing up once said, he's Dutch. His father was for many years the chief rabbi of Amsterdam and commuted from New York, right? Like, went there once a month. He said, what do they do in Holland? They finish their meal, they bench, they schmooze, and they have ice cream for dessert, no matter what they had for dinner, for lunch, right? Ice cream, cheesecake, mashiach, right? But that felt weird to people. 3 hours, it's like out of sight, out of mind, right? You're not, 3 hours, you're not having dessert from your meat meal, right? Okay, you might have your afternoon coffee, but no one has to look at you, right, and see you having ice cream after chilling, right? Like, what you do in your house with your coffee, like, okay, do whatever you want, right? So the most likely explanation of 3 hours is some sort of compromise where like 1 hour was too much in your face, right? But
3 hours,
right, 3 hours is like enough. Now the okay, I mean, because I don't have it, the Pri Chadash is the one who raised the possibility that these, that it might actually be Sha'ot Zmaniot, but not L'chumra. I mean, Shah's money at Lakula, right? Like a maximum of, if I remember correctly, right? That a maximum of 6 hours, right? I mean, 60-minute hours, but potentially shorter. Now, of course, you could get to that position one of two ways. You could get to that position either by thinking that Shah is formal, but Shah means Shah's money, right? Shah's money out. Or by saying that Kishe Shah's doesn't really mean 6 hours. It means the amount of time between meals, which changes between winter and summer, right?
Yeah.
Meaning, both of those practically would come towards a similar direction, but numerically, right, but the exact path that they took to that is not identical, right? Yeah, I don't think we need another week on it, but Fachori Yoter, right? If you want to understand, right? So this is what you want to know. Where did all this come from? The answer is, again, 6 hours comes from this formalized approach adopted by the Torah. The Rambam may or may not hold that based on what you think Kishe Shaot means. On the one hand, he might mean... He might just mean we don't have clocks, so Kishe Shaot really means 6 hours. It's just like, you know, 6 hours. He could mean a formalized 5 hours, 31 minutes. He could mean into the 6 hour. It's unlikely, but these are all variations on the Rambam, right, without putting names on everyone. But that's where this comes from, right, the five and a half, five in a minute, right, all that comes from the Rambam. The idea that, no, Kishe Shaot means more like 6 hours, which is the amount of time between meals, is what generates, in practice, the position in some of these, like, Israeli yeshivot, which is the only time I've ever, in America I never really saw it, but here I know this is pretty standard in a lot of yeshivot, which is, we try for 6 hours, but, like, depending on the time of year, if it's 5.5 hours, but that's the natural time between meals, that's what the Rambam meant by kishei shov. Like, around 6 hours with a natural break between meals, right? That's another way of sort of kishei shov, which is, as I understand it, a derivative of this, of that diok in the Rambam. The Tosva position is actually what the Rama paskins meikar hadin, right, which is simply end the meal. But the Rama says he wanted to be machmer 6, and that's why variations on 6 became the norm. Shulchan Aruch paskins like that, either because he equates the Torah and the Rambam, right, or because he really thinks the Rama meant, however you want to take that, right? And to be fair, like the Dagom Rebbe thinks that the Rama meant, right, and that follows the 6 hours. And again, bracketing the question of, is that in addition to getting meat out of your teeth or, right, whatever. The 1 hour, again, could be a girsa somewhere that you actually have to wait an hour. If the Rama actually had a girsa of the smog that said an hour, more likely it's just that at some point a compromise position emerged. 3 hours might be a girsa mistaken of any rucham, or it might also be yet another compromise position between them. There is this possibility that it's more shows money, but maybe only shows money at Lakula, right? Which is a variation, right? Which again, you could get to the same direction either by saying it means Sha'ah, but it means shows money, or by saying more like what we said for what some people think the Rambam means, which is the amount of time between meals, right? In practice, most people right now, it's also possible that the other possibility for the 3 hours is, even if it wasn't articulated this way, another possibility of the 3 hours was that
a shorter distance between them.
Yeah, is that it developed in cultures where they understood the hours as the amount of time between the average meal in that society, and in Germany, Holland, whatever, they had more meals. They were all bodybuilders and had meals, you know, high protein, small meals every 3 hours, right? Whatever, like, you know, whatever, right? That was the regimen they followed. Okay? Right? So that's another possibility. Some of the things we didn't get to discuss, we didn't read every source aside, get to every name, that's fine. But this is basically a survey of the position. Don't hold me if we missed like one formulation. I don't think it's worth doing another week. I'll just note that the truth is you see even just in Shulchan Aruch, originally this it didn't always apply according to all positions to everything that we now consider meat. Right? And you didn't necessarily,
like hot dogs?
No, that it does. But like if you continue in Shulchan Aruch gets into the... I'm already over time, but I'll quickly... I don't have an olive class. It's not the end of the world. And you don't have sugar.
Oh,
because
they have their
internship.
Okay, I was worried about...
Right, so the Shulchan Aruch still pops in. The Hakal Tav Shulchan Aruch Tav Shulchan Gvina. Right, if you just have something that's sort of like cooked with meat, right? So like, now people like have just sort of make chicken and potatoes in the same pot. I don't mean like something in a meat pot, that you don't have to wait. Right, in a clean meat pot, you don't have to wait. I mean like actually,
so
you cook like...
You get stuff for dinner and it's like meat and mushrooms, and I only eat mushrooms.
Correct, so Shulchan Aruch pot's going to make your adin, you wouldn't have to wait between that. However, the Rama then knows, we now go after Lahachmir. That the minhag eventually became that you wait 6 hours even on that. Again, not on something that's in the...
Like gravy?
Yeah, or whatever, like the rice on the... Yeah, exactly, right? Like, the rice is not the meat, right? But it was cooked literally with it, right? And hadn't touched it, or whatever, you know? So, originally, that seems to have not been part of this issur, because whatever, either even if it has a little bit of, like, it touched meat, but still... Does it take that time to digest? Is it stuck between your teeth? I mean, those svaras don't really apply to a top shulchan basar. The minhag became to be machmir, right? And that's what the Rama notes in Siv Gimel. However, he notes that something cooked in a flaky pot, you don't wait, right? That you don't wait. There is a machlokes achronim, Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the Prima Gadim. I think it's Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the Prima Gadim, and the Chavos Das of the ways in. On what about onions, right? Because we know that onions have a weird halacha, davar charif, that if you cut something with a fleishik knife, and it's a davar charif, it actually becomes fleishik in a certain sense. It's a machloket achronim, whether it's fleishik for these purposes also makes you wait 6 hours. Majority opinion is lakula on that point. right? That even if it's fleishik in the sense that it can, you know, make your, you know, mess up your dairy pot, it's not fleishik in the sense that you have to wait 6 hours, right? It's machlokes acharonim, but the majority position I think is lakula. Okay, is there any minhag that you've heard of? Right, again, we haven't necessarily exhausted every position, but this is, I think, a decent survey, at least.
Yeah.
I'll say that this is a decent survey, having not prepared for this, right? Like, and doing this by memory. This is a decent summary of what it is. Okay, good. Here. Baruch Hashem. They don't have the Pri Chadash, but they do have the Gilyan Marsha who quotes the Pri Chadash. Okay, so at least I'll read that to you, so I'm Yotzei. The Gilyan Marsha quotes, which is not the Marsha in the Gemara. It's the son of Rabbi Eger. Marsha here stands for Shlomo Eger. Okay, just know that. The Gilyan Marsha in Shulchan Aruch is Shlomo Lo Eger. Okay, not Shmuel Adolf, right, from the Gemara. He just quotes the Pri Chadash. He says, Ratzalomar Misu Uda L'Suda. The halacha is from meal to meal, right? The av to bechoref ain bein sudas to harayim the sudas arvit kiim arba shaot. Even though in the winter that's 4 hours. V'zem muskam. Everyone agrees to this. Not everyone agrees to it, but that's the quote. Everyone agrees to this. Pri chadash.
Okay, I'm glad that wasn't an opinion because it seems like a fairly obvious thing.
Correct. I said it's the pri chadash, and again I said there's two ways of really getting to that, which is either a shazmaniot position,
yeah,
right? Or, so maybe I was remembering...
Or it's time between
meals, which changes, right? So the way the Gil... I don't know, in the full precautions, I think he raises both. But again, don't hold them because I don't have it in front of me. But the Gilyan Marsha, right, quotes, right, that the maskana of the precautions, and he seems to hold like it, actually means the normal time where you live between meals, which could be less, right? So that's the 4 hours. And again, the variant on that is the amount of time between meals, if it's close enough to 6 hours, right? Which seems to be this unwritten but practiced position in many yeshivot in Israel. Again, I don't know exactly where they came up with that particular formulation, but it does seem to be either it's, you know, a version of this. I'm not 100% sure where they got it from, but yes, it is an actual. Yes, it is an actual position. Okay, let's see if there's anything that I missed here. Mm-hmm, Pri Chadash. Right, okay, you know, I'm not crazy. Again, I don't have the full Pri Chadash in front of me, but Yad Ephraim, okay, good. I'm glad my memory served me right. The Pri Chadash is both formulations. The Gilyan Marsha quotes the formulation of the Pri Chadash that it's about how much time you have between meals, right? And that's why he shortens it. But the Yad Ephraim quotes him as saying that no, it's 6 shod maniot umishar in lefi azman, right? And it's a maximum of 6 shod maniot, but in the winter, it's going to be shorter, though he does actually quote it as saying, right, no, he says, okay, good, right, this is how I remember the Pri Chadash, that in theory, you could have said it was 6 shots, maniot, l'chumra, and l'kula, but the Pri Chadash's maskana is that it's only one directional. It's 6 hour shots, maniot, for a maximum of 360 minutes, right? So I'll just read you the Yad Ephraim summary. He quotes the Pri Chadash, quoting the Gan HaMelech, that you always wait based on shows maniot. So you have to wait half a day. So in the summer, you have to wait a long time, more than 6 hours. But that's not the minag. Right? Meaning, no one really has that minag. Right? They seem to always wait 6 hours, but you can rely on the Pri Chadash for Shana Tzach Lekula, meaning, right, but it's clear that since he's saying you can rely on the Pri Chadash, he's generating the position of a maximum of 360 minutes, right? And if you need to, then you can wait Shabbos Maniot. But, right, obviously we've never said B'Shas HaTzach you wait 8 hours. That doesn't work, right? B'Shas HaTzach you wait less. The maximum is 6 hours, which is, right, so that's sort of like...
They don't work for 8 hours.
Do they?
They don't eat meat. Yeah, but...
Oh, fine, but...
No,
okay,
and then they wait
fine. Fine. Okay, so I think that is
What if you're winning, is that?
We went over time, but it's good. You don't have class. I don't have class now, so fine. But we covered, I think, all the main positions here. So this is, you wanted to know where it came from. This is where it comes from. At least basic survey. Again, forgive me if, you know, whatever. It's, this is from memory, so like, you know.
As someone who unfortunately on occasion forgets some
Torah. Rachman al-Litzlan, no.
I'm impressed with the amount you remembered, and it also seemed like a fairly competently done survey.
Oh, thank you.
That's why it's all remembered.
Yes, it's clearly because there are underlines in my Torah and Shulchan Aruch, yes.
Can I talk to myself now?